I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? What a weekend. Are you kidding me with that? The NFL may have been the best NFL Sunday of all time. Let's do it. No hyperbole. Tiki and Tierney live from our Quicken Loan studio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Amari Cooper going to work. Crazy finish in Miami. You kidding me? Patty Mahomes, send it to Arrowhead. He ices the MVP. The Texans' 9-game win streak, that's over. The Steelers, the mystifying loss to the moribund Raiders. What the hell happened there? The Bears shutting down the high-flying, potent Rams offense. All the stuff that went down this football weekend. Little Heisman for you, little Army Navy. Nothing compares to what went down in the state of Connecticut over the weekend.
Right,
as little, well, he's not that little anymore.
Yeah, he's getting
young,
big.
Not quite that young anymore. AJ Barber has arrived.
He really did, BT.
Arrived.
I can't tell you how proud I am of not only him, but their team. That stat is actually wrong. I sent you the wrong stats. He had 10 for 160 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns in the state championship game. He made a ridiculous couple plays, one of which made SportsCenter's top 10 plays of the day. He caught 3 touchdown passes, as I mentioned. You'll see him here if you're watching the network. 60-yard bomb that was just amazing. It was exciting. Their defense, though, is really where the proof has been in the pudding all season long. They gave up 54 points all season long.
I don't care about their defense. I care about A.J. Barber going nuts.
Here's A.J. Barber going nuts here, too.
This is the play. I got to point something out about this play in a second. That was a screen pass to the flat, which he had to go backwards and get it and then reposition his feet. He threw it. Look, that is Odell-esque right there. Yeah, the numbers are, by the way, A.J.'s a sophomore.
He is a sophomore.
He's not a senior,
yep.
Not a junior. This is a powerhouse in Connecticut. The play, you know, and I texted you guys. Mm-hmm. That is a direct byproduct of playing baseball and playing in the middle of the diamond.
That's a good point.
That throws behind them. If you see that in real time, and Tiki sent us a couple links on our thread for the show, obviously, it looked like a middle infielder, kind of corralling one behind them, resetting his feet, throwing it across the diamond. So that's why when you say, you know, hey, don't just be a specialized student athlete.
Right.
Play everything.
You're right.
That's where it showed up.
That's a good point. I always talk about how wrestling helped me as a football player, just body control.
Yeah.
Baseball helped him because not only did he have to snag it, then he had to turn and throw it.
And a spiral still. Yeah. Pretty close to a spiral.
He wants to play quarterback next
and
year.
And does he really? Yeah, does he have a chance to do it?
They're losing their quarterback.
I know.
Gavin Muir, who was amazing, completed like 72% of his passes in this championship game, was great. Just to give credit to everybody, and I have to mention it because I'm old school.
Of course.
Their defense, BT, they gave up 4.2 points per game over the season. And they shut out in the semi and the final the two teams they played. 84 donut was the semifinal and the final.
Up next, Alabama.
Seriously. John Marinelli, their head coach, did a great job. Tyson Camizio, their running back, he rushed for 143 yards. I mean, they just dominated all season long. But A.J. had his chance on the biggest stage, and he took advantage of it. So I can't tell you how proud I am.
I can't imagine. I mean, what is it like to see that? I mean, try to verbalize it.
So I was in the stadium. I was on the other end of the stadium from that touchdown, the one that he caught and threw. And so I could see the throw to him, and I thought it was just, you know, like a screen pass. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, he's going to get 3 yards here, whatever. But he snagged it. You could see him snag it, and I didn't know what came next. I couldn't see it. It was obstructed from me.
Yep.
And then I see the ball. I don't see him, but I see the ball flying in the air, and it's a trick play. The catch was unbelievable, and it was – I don't know. It's just, I can't tell you the emotion. The first touchdown was a benign one, just a little bubble screen that he walked into the end zone because they blocked it up so well. The second one I saw man coverage on the outside. I was like, they should chuck this one up to AJ. And they chucked it up to AJ. 60-yard bomb. That's why I kept writing you guys.
Yeah, we kept getting. Exactly. I'm like, he's having a day.
He's having a day. And
it's
then,
going crazy.
And then this trick play, which, again, made the top 10 in ESPN.
That's amazing.
On Saturday night, which is something I never did.
I didn't hear they gave you a shout-out, obviously.
No. They didn't talk about me at all.
Really? They didn't say Tiki Sun?
This was AJ Barber.
That's actually kind of cool in a lot of ways.
It's about him. It's not about me, but it made the top 10 on ESPN, which was cool. And now he thinks he's famous.
Well, kind of is.
Yeah, he is.
He's on SportsCenter.
But it was awesome.
And congratulations
he's a
there, Pops.
State champion in the state of Connecticut as a sophomore. And that program has a lot to be proud of.
Yeah.
They kicked a lot of ass this year.
Something you and Ronde didn't get in Virginia.
That's my
point. Obviously not taking a shot at you, but you guys had some injuries. I remember Ronde got hurt.
Yeah, but what I was saying, I played 4 years of major college. Not major, but college football.
No,
Virginia.
No. Major.
Virginia was major, right? 10 years in the NFL. Yeah. My brother's played 16 in the NFL. Uh-huh. Never made the ESPN top 10. This kid, it's 16 years old, is on ESPN top 10.
Hey, listen.
Congrats to AJ.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was so happy for you. I mean, then, of course, as soon as I got home, I had to rifle footballs at my three-year-old. Hey, listen, can't let, you know. You got to give daddy this moment in about 13, 14
you
years,
good
too.
Point. It really is kidding. Baseball. Because baseball has always been his better
it's
sport.
It's the first thing I saw.
Yeah.
Because the throw was behind them.
Very
so I just see almost like almost like a shortstop or a second baseman taking a throw from the catcher, guy stealing, and he's got to reset his foot and throw it across the diamond or for a rundown. Yep. I saw a baseball play on that.
Yeah.
Amazing. Congratulations, Teague. I'm
Thank
so happy
brother.
For you guys.
Appreciate
and
it.
AJ,
that's his glove hand, too. So.
Yeah, there you go. 160
yards? 160
yards. Nine receptions, three touchdowns receiving.
Yeah, man.
One throwing.
And one throwing.
What a day. What a day.
Congrats.
This kid had more moments.
Congrats, Greenwich football.
Yes. Yeah. This kid had more moments in 30 minutes than I had 4 years playing Division I baseball. Like these two pictures. What is he, 16?
He's 16. He's 16.
If I didn't like you so much, I might be a little jealous.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so.
He's jealous of the size of his brother, who's 16.
Did he get in the game?
No, he didn't.
He didn't get it.
He didn't dress the
freshman. But next year, they're going to play together.
I know.
That's
cool.
Amazing.
Which would be cool.
Got a lot to be thankful for, man. I know you know that.
No doubt.
Okay, where do you want to start? Because, you know, I said when we started the show. We're not starting with the Giants. Stop. We started with AJ. We're not getting into the Giants.
The Giants have.
We'll give the Giants a bone for 30 seconds when we get out of here.
The only reason I give them a 10 seconds?
Why?
They're not out of the postseason. I mean, they are, but they're not.
Yeah, I know. Technically, they're still there. They got a puncher's chance.
And you know what? If they play like they did, they keep ripping off wins. And Saquon keeps, I mean, he's winning Rookie of the Year offensively. There's no doubt about it.
No question.
They could finish 8-8, and that's just from where they were.
Yeah.
Enormous win.
Listen,
and
Shermer,
we can move on from the Giants.
They're not going to make the playoffs, and I know that you know that, but Shermer needed to
stabilize,
you know, kind of tweak the narrative. It was going in the wrong direction early. So the only thing that I'd be worried about. Because this I think, is actually a pretty meaningful minute conversation. Only thing I'd be worried about if I'm a Giants fan right now, is this going to persuade management to think that Eli Manning is
Has
the guy
year?
Next season?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
I think they know that it's not ending, because that just sounds too final, but they need to find the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's Dwayne Haskins, who had an article over the weekend saying he'd love to play for the Giants.
Yeah,
Dwayne Haskins, who grew up a Tiki Barber fan, by the way.
I heard him say that.
It's kind of cool.
I'll tell you, by the way, and I had a chance to meet Kyler Murray yesterday, who stopped by our top set. And
Heisman Trophy winner.
He kind of won going away. And by the way, I saw the numbers. I know we're jumping around, but it's that kind of day.
I was really surprised by how big the victory was.
I was too, until I found out that the second place finished by Tua was the most second place votes in Heisman history.
But I thought it would have been closer than that, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought it would have been a little bit tighter as well.
Because,
no, I hear you.
For 90% of the season, it was Tua's award.
Well, because it was a disservice that his team was so stout and so dominant. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if Murray, who, by the way, we asked him about, is going to play baseball, he's going to do the – he's not a big kid. You know, I had a chance to stand there. I took a picture with him. You know, I'm with my disc now. I probably lost about a half an inch now. But I'm towering over him. He's not – I mean, he's smaller than Baker Mayfield.
You could see it on TV.
Significantly.
You could see it on TV in the Heisman ceremony, how much smaller he was than Dwayne Haskins.
Haskins is a big boy.
Even Tua, who's not a big kid.
Either. No. So. Tua was limping around on the scooter. Hopefully he's going to be right for the bowl game. But Murray is they're all – and I know the tweets came out. We'll save this for later. And he addressed it with us on Tops. Adam asked him about that. You know, I'll tell you, just to bury this in your brain when we get to this later, it's really becoming frustrating, and it's alarming, it's worrisome how people derive any sort of pleasure in getting a screenshot of a young man, if he's 14 or 15 or woman or 16. I don't mean if you're an adult. If you're a kid and you use a word from a lyric or a homophobic slur without giving them a pass, of course they owned up for it.
Yep.
They're kids. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I agree. I
mean, who does that?
I know. And it's unfortunate, but he apologized, which is the only thing he can do.
That's it.
Really?
No, that's it. Own it and apologize.
He doesn't need to explain it anymore. Just move on from it. And I think people will move on from it. This is not something that'll hang over him.
I agree. But we'll do the Heisman. We'll talk about that stuff a little bit later. Good kid. Really happy you swung by the studio. You know, I'm surprised with a lot that went down yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, really a lot. And as much as I say maybe a little hyperbolic that it was the best Sunday in NFL history.
A lot of upsets.
Dude, it's up there.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire AFC playoff picture right. is rattled. The Patriots, that play in Miami. Why is Gronk on the field?
Well,
why is he on the field? He can't run.
Because here's the thing. People in that situation think the only play that we have as a defense, the only play that can hurt us is the Hail Mary.
Sure. That's right? Why he was there.
That's why
knock
he's there, because he's big as hell. Just knock the ball down.
Play power forward.
Be a rim protector, whatever. Knock the ball down.
Yep.
But the problem is that play is successful maybe half of 1% of the time that you do it. It is never, ever.
And they don't call penalties either.
Successful.
They let you bang around.
Agreed. So,
rightfully so.
Smart coordinators have started to do different things.
Mm-hmm.
We see it, right? We see it at the end of all these games, like the throw the ball around thing.
Yep.
And it never really works until you screw around and have the right plan. And the Miami Dolphins on this play called Boise.
Look at this.
Which is, Kenyon Drake, who was trying to get rid of the football,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, right there. He's like, right? I got what?
Then he sees
I got space?
He sees a block coming, and then because Gronk is back there, Gronk doesn't know to use the sideline as a defender,
mm-hmm.
right? As
mm-hmm.
as a defensive player, you have a couple of principles when someone is running towards the sideline. Make him cut back inside,
mm-hmm.
because that's where the defender's the pursuit is coming from, or push him out of bounds. Gronk is trying to protect against getting beat inside.
I don't fault Gronk.
Run to the sideline.
I don't fault him.
If you're a defender and someone's coming at you towards the sideline, run to their outside shoulder. You got to get to the sideline. Because
yep.
either they're going to try to go outside of you
mm-hmm.
and you're going to knock them out of bounds, or they're going to cut back and get ear-holed by someone who's coming
at you. That's where your help is waiting.
Exactly. He's not a defender.
No, he shouldn't have been out there.
He has no idea.
Belichick with a monster gaffe.
Exactly.
Monster gaffe.
Let's back up. Tom Brady also had a monster gaffe.
I know he did.
Right before halftime.
You're talking about with the clock.
Yeah.
I know.
Right before halftime.
I know.
Third down, he takes a sack with
mm-hmm.
5 seconds left in the clock.
Yep.
If there's one quarterback I trusted would just throw the ball away or try to, hum one in and do something other than take a sack, it was yep. Tom Brady. That cost them. Because not only did it cost them six, it cost them three. And when you look at the final score,
mm-hmm.
that's a difference. So the Pats just, they brain fart when they go down to Miami. They can't win down
they're
there.
They're 1-6 now, I think, with Brady, right?
For whatever reason.
I think they're 1-6.
They cannot
like
win
they're
down
last
there.
Seven?
Now, yeah, you're right, 1-6. Now, it doesn't necessarily affect the New England Patriots. They're still two games up in the division. They're likely going to finish, win two of these last couple games. Jets and Bills and Steelers are their last
three. Yeah, definitely.
So they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But what this does do is convolute the AFC.
Uh-huh.
It's all 7-6. And when you look at the other teams, and this is why it becomes important, BT, that lost, that we put on our rundown that were important. Pats, Steelers, and Texans. They're all kind of tied right now.
The one that
has the advantage is obviously the Steelers because of that tie against the Cleveland Browns. Instead of being 7-6, the Steelers are 7-5-1. So they still sit atop the division, even though the Baltimore Ravens in a great, I don't want to call it a great loss, but it was a great game that they should have won or could have won, except for Pat Mahomes, who won himself the MVP.
MVP.
In that game.
Ship it, sis.
Was unbelievable. But they're all right there. It's so stacked upon itself in the AFC right now. And this weekend had a lot to do with none of these teams getting separation and all of them pulling together.
If TV can leave that up there for a second, I have complete faith that Kansas City won, so
yeah,
they're fine.
They're fine.
I believe the Pats will bounce back.
Doubt.
Not overly worried about them. I believe the Houston Texans will bounce back, and they might even use this loss as a good thing.
Yeah, they were on a 9-game win streak.
Exactly.
They've been playing. Law of averages means you're going to lose one, and it's Andrew Luck who has to bounce back from that horrible game he had last week.
True. And they've been playing such pressurized football because they lost their first three. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people forget, T, week four and week five, when they started to stabilize things, both were overtime wins. They've been grinding. Maybe this allows them to reset, exhale. Okay, we're still talented. Get going. This is the team that I just do not trust. They look
been a bad month for
them. Been a horrendous month. They got lucky against the Jaguars. They've had perplexing losses. How do you lose to the Raiders? How does Tomlin leave Big Ben on the bench? I mean, they can't run. Connor's not Bell, but you wish you had Connor now.
Yeah.
And you know what? They deserve this.
So it would be nice to have Le'Veon Bell at this point.
That's why I say they deserve this. Their pettiness and the way they tried to screw him and set a precedent financially, the Steelers deserve this. They deserve it. So let's stay on track here. Let's get a timeout. Let's come back. I want to hear from Mike Tomlin. Want to hear from Belichick. Want to hear from all the major players from a wild, crazy, awesome week 14 around the NFL. And want to hear from you as well. 1-855-212-4227. Here's the question. A lot of times we overreact on a Monday. Although this deep in the season,
it's three games
hard
left.
It's kind of hard to overreact.
You are, right?
But what is real? Like, of all the wackiness that went down yesterday, what do you believe is not necessarily quote unquote real? All right, let's get into that. 1-855-212-4227. The refs were terrible. You know, we haven't talked about the refs a whole lot this year.
They've been bad.
They've been bad today.
For the last 3 weeks. Really bad.
We will today. They missed a ton. The first play of the Eagles-Cowboys game. What was that? We got a lot to do. Let's get a timeout. Otherwise, I won't take a break all day. Because I really don't want to, but I have to. Your calls, more opinions. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, busy Monday, really busy. The challenge here is to try to get all in at 855-212-4227. Sirius XM 206, obviously, CBS Sports Radio, coast to coast, CBS Sports Network. A lot of people want to chime in. The most interesting thing that you witnessed yesterday was?
How big of an impact, because I honestly didn't think this was going to be the case, Amari Cooper has on this Dallas Cowboys offense. Not only the people have to back up now because they have a deep threat, but he saves Dak. He saves him. Dak Prescott is not the answer.
He's not.
He makes bad throws, bad decisions, and these guys save him. They protect him. This game should have been a blowout. They should have won this game by two touchdowns at the very least. But the two interceptions, the first one was just horrendously overthrown. The second one was not a smart decision either. And then the sack fumble with Michael Bennett stripped them. He prevented them from being as dominant as they were. Amari Cooper, though, 217 yards and three touchdowns. I didn't think it. I slept on how good he was because of how much he was masked. Or underutilized, or under whatever the word is in Oakland.
Let me ask you a question. Say anything about Derek Carr?
Maybe. It might. Or the offense that he was in. Because I remember him at Alabama. And when Lane Kiffin was his offensive coordinator, it was like, all right, Amari, we know you run good routes. Go beat this guy on this scheme, and we're going to get the ball to you. And I remember watching these games, and the play snaps. And Lane Kiffin standing over on the sideline with his hands up like, this is a touchdown, right? Because of how the play was designed. He knew how to utilize them. I feel like the Raiders didn't utilize him that way. And his what does he have? He has 600 and something yards. He's got twice the amount of catches in his six games because he's had six games, obviously, in Oakland and six in with the Cowboys. And he has 40 catches to 22. He's got 628 yards to 240 yards or whatever it was. Six touchdowns to one. It's been amazing. Here it is right there on the screen if you're watching the network. It's amazing the difference that a different offense has meant for him, but also what he's meant for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and it was easy to get on the air and, you know, take some shots at Jerry Jones. Oh, desperate Jerry Jones, first round. What is he, nuts?
Amari Cooper. That's what I said.
I was kind of with you. I didn't love the move. The one thing that you and I did talk about, it would give them clarity as to exactly who Dak Prescott is and maybe more specifically what he can evolve into now that they've got a deep threat. Because if you can't score points with Amari Cooper and play action with Zeke and a pretty good offensive line, while it's not as good as it was 2 years ago, there's been some attrition, obviously. But you would get some answers, and they needed intel. Now, I'll tell you this. The fact that they just made Drew Brees and the Saints offense look inept, the fact that the Rams just got squashed by the Bears, this is going to sound ridiculous, and I'm not trying to make a hot take. You have to, out of respect for their defensive capabilities, throw Dallas in at least the long shot part of the conversation to do something really special
this
year.
They're number one in defense.
Yes.
Right now. Yeah, number one in defense in the NFL now. I knew
they were fast.
They were
Randy Gregory's been terrific.
Yeah, Vander Esch, we talked about.
Oh, he's a stud.
They're second.
Jalen Smith.
Yep.
Sean Lee's back.
They get after the quarterback.
Yeah.
They play good in the secondary.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
They're good.
This defense is legit. Agreed. And they got a great coordinator as well, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Rob, who's in Pennsylvania. Rob is up first. Hickey and Tierney. What up, Rob?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today?
We are good, man. What do you got for us?
What's up, buddy?
As a Steelers fan, do you think Mike Tomlin and the Steelers are approaching a Mike McCarthy in Green Bay situation where the coach has been there for a while?
I'm going to let Tiki take this. Rob, I'm going to let Tiki take this. I'll say this. Tiki has, as long as we've worked together, he has always liked Mike Tomlin more than me.
Yep.
I have had my periods where I wasn't sure if he was as good as people thought. Go ahead, T.
Rob, I'm biased, obviously, because I know Mike, and I spent time with Mike, and he coached my brother for a while down in Tampa Bay. And with that being said, though, there's been some decisions that are just inexcusable. I don't think this is anywhere near Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. I think the dynamic as the play caller, just talking about the Green Bay Packers now, with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers is what caused the rift. It was what started to erode their relationship because Aaron wanted to do certain things and Mike McCarthy was not doing those certain things. It's amazing what Joe Philbin, who didn't call plays in 22 years.
96?
Yeah, since 1996 at Northeastern.
College.
What he did with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
It just felt completely, I don't know, explosive and different and versatile, and Aaron Jones got involved. I mean, it was amazing what that little switch did. The issue, I think, and Rob, to your question about Mike Tomlin, I think the issue with Coach Tomlin is that they're underperforming by, like, halves. It's not like the whole game is bad.
Mm-hmm.
They'll play a great quarter or they'll play a great half. And then
because they have great talent.
Yeah, and then the rest of it,
they're going to stumble upon efficiency.
But then the rest of
production.
It, they'll be sleep.
Oh, I know.
Right? That's what happened with the Chargers last week.
Yep.
And this
the Jaguars.
Week, and exactly. The first half, they were asleep.
Shut out.
And then they were this torrid comeback, and they ultimately end up winning that game. But for the last month, it's been like they can't put a full game together. And who's that on? Is it on the game planning, or is it on the effort of the players? And then watching this game this past weekend against the Oakland Raiders, I know Big Ben gets banged up, and I know you have the luxury of sitting him because you have a lead, but you have a 4-point lead in the third quarter. And forget what you've heard about the Raiders. They haven't quit, right? They're rebuilding, and they're stripping down, and all the young players are playing. But those guys have not quit on John Gruden. You've seen it over the last 3 or 4 weeks. You go back to the Arizona game where they hung in and fought to win that game. I mean, it was an ugly game, but they hung in and fought to win that game. The Steelers, I feel like, are taking for granted their opponents, and they're thinking that, well, we can beat them regardless. Big Ben goes in the locker room because he has a rib injury. There's nothing broken, and he can play. Mm-hmm. Put his ass back in the game.
I mean,
period.
That's coaching 101.
I 100% agree.
And if it was a concussion, there's no discussion.
Different story. And I don't know, and we'll find out, I'm sure.
Ben likes to chat.
As the week goes on.
We'll get answers.
Whose decision it was?
Yeah.
Was it Ben saying, I need a couple series?
Yeah, I don't think that's the way it's going to go
down. Or was it Mike Tomlin saying, sit down? Right.
What do you think?
I'm going to assume.
Don't you think it's got to be Tomlin?
I assume it was.
Yep.
Because as a player and playing the way that they had the last 2 weeks, which were losses, really going back to the last three, which was also a win when we talked about with Jacksonville, but they played poorly. I'd want to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be out there.
Of course.
And
he's a champion.
I can't
of course
see,
he wants to play.
I can't see Big Ben saying, I'm good. I'm going to sit down for 3 or 4 series until you need me.
Yeah.
And
oh, I don't see that at all.
Joshua Dobbs gets in there, he throws an interception, and is completely ineffective because they have no run game.
He's not ready.
No, of course he's not. Listen, it's not his fault.
Here's what I see about like Tomlin. Like, I think it's utterly disrespectful when people frame it. You know, if you want to have a conversation, a layered conversation about, you know, really the ultimate strengths and the weaknesses of Tomlin, I'm all ears. And I've been very outspoken about the weaknesses. The weaknesses to me are just in like a broad snapshot. There's been too many great regular seasons that have ended before I thought they should in terms of the playoffs. So the success when it's really time to win hasn't always matched up what they've done for 4 or 5 months. And to me, that's a problem, number one. Number two, for a guy with a defensive background, when's the last time this team made a defensive stop with a game on the line?
No, they
win because of offense.
I know it. And so, it's been that way for a couple years now.
So I can micro-criticize, as we do with, you know, this is what we do for a living. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to say into a microphone, Mike Tomlin is a good coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got these idiots saying Mike Tomlin's terrible. You're a clown if you think that. Yeah. You have no knowledge about football. Mike Tomlin's a leader of men. Mm-hmm. Mike Tomlin's a winner.
Yep.
But he is at the point where you can at least start to pick up the can and look at the expiration date. Mm-hmm. For a couple of years, you didn't have to check.
No.
Because there was nothing to discuss.
You're right.
Nothing to look at.
You're right.
If they don't win out, what if they don't win another game this year? Are we sure that he's back next season? I know the franchise that he coaches for.
I would say
the answer is probably yes.
I would say yes also.
But if we really evaluated it honestly, should it be a definitive yes, or should it at least be a conversation?
I think it should be a conversation, but I think ultimately he's not going anywhere.
That's fine, and that's the point that I'm at as well. I would want to sit down, and now you enter next season with, you know, hey, here is the expectation. And even though if they don't tell us what it is, that's fine. But there's got to be some sort of parameters that are a little more defined than, I mean, he's been around a while now.
I know.
And he had that great, you know, Super Bowl early, and they've got, I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is incredible. This guy's a superstar.
He's a stud.
You got Antonio Brown. You got a good offensive line.
No doubt.
You got a Hall of Fame quarterback. You got a pretty good tight end.
But what you don't have, and you mentioned this going into the last break, BT, is Le'Veon Bell. I get. You don't want to set the precedent for running back. But let me tell you something. It's happening. It's going to happen. Running backs are going to start getting paid like wide receivers. They're going to, because you see a guy like Saquon, who's rookie of the year, who's going to be rookie of the year.
He's
sick. He's got 1,100 yards rushing, 9 rushing touchdowns, 78. There's 3 games left. He's got 78 receptions. Right?
He's a freak.
He's a freak.
He's
600 something yards and 4 touchdowns in the air. You can't say he's not the catalyst for this change for the New York Giants offense. Running backs deserve to be paid, and the Steelers had a chance to be the pioneer there. And they chose not to. I get it. We got James Conner.
Mm-hmm.
James Conner hasn't proven himself to be available for 16 weeks. Not that Le'Veon Bell is either, because he sits out the first couple of games.
Suspension, or something.
But
he's there in December.
He's there in December.
Yeah.
And right now, it sure would be nice if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you had Le'Veon Bell on your sideline.
Boy, they could use him. All right, good stuff. Really, what an incredible Sunday. 1-855-212-4227. Got 5-star rewind coming up here on Tiki and Tierney. I'll do chat about Kyler Murray and the Heisman Trophy next hour. We'll get to that for sure. Squeezing some hoops as well. I didn't necessarily see this coming. Wink, wink. We kind of talked about it. Joel Embiid already a little fracture with the Sixers. You kidding me? We got a lot to get to, which we will. Axe update coming at you 5-star after that. Here's Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. 5-star rewind coming up in a moment. It's a Monday staple, obviously. Hey, coming up on Sunday, week 15, doubleheader day. It's all about the playoffs. Miami taking on Minnesota. Then a big one with two teams fighting for the divisions. The Pats collide with the Steelers. The day begins with the NFL Today, powered by Ram, 12 Eastern on 9 Pacific on CBS. So we cherry pick our way through the day. We touched on the Steelers, touched on that crazy play with the Dolphins and the Pats at the end there. We'll obviously expound on what happened last night. The Bears and the Rams, phenomenal performance by the Bears. Both quarterbacks were terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, terrible.
Who can be the worst?
Terrible. But the defense was pretty damn good. Dallas's defense is great. Amari Cooper's balling out. But it is a Monday, so it's about that time. You ready for 5-star?
Yeah, let's get it.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, Tink, as always, we start on the Sunday night stage. Chilly Chicago, defense the theme all night. They would tack on the extra point, 15-6. Your final couple of three-run homers and a bases-loaded double. I mean, Harold Bain somehow got in the Hall of Fame over, which I'm gonna go nuts on later. It's ridiculous. So I guess Chicago, even though we play, a little Chicago theme there. Harold Bain's had a good night at the plate, 15-6. How about this though, Teak? Matt Nagy post-game saying the defense all about the win.
Time to buckle in.
Hey baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs.
Here's your latest five-star rewind.
Hello?
Tiki and Tierney give you the best highlights from their top five games over the past weekend.
I know I'm going to get got, but I'm going to get mine more than I get got, though.
Here we come! It's a man's game now!
Okay, Tiki, as always, we start on the Sunday night stage. Chilly Chicago, defense the theme all night.
Trubisky, play action. He'll throw it to the end zone. It is caught! It's a touchdown! Bradley Soule, the backup tackle, with a touchdown grab. And the Bears lead it 14-6 as Trubisky finds Soule.
They would tack on the extra point, 15-6. Your final couple of three-run homers and a bases-loaded double. I mean, Harold Bain somehow got in the Hall of Fame over, which I'm gonna go nuts on later. It's ridiculous. So I guess Chicago, even though we play, a little Chicago theme there. Harold Bain's had a good night at the plate, 15-6. How about this, though, Teak? Matt Nagy post-game saying the defense all about the win.
As sluggish as we were on offense, and that's a credit to Coach Phillips and their defense, how they played. Our defense just really, really played on another level.
All right, so the head coach laying it out. Kevin Kugler, the call earlier before Westwood won. How surprised were you with this result?
Very, but the more alarming thing that I look at for this BT is the play of Todd Gurley, who was only given, I think, 14 or so touches, only had 28 yards rushing. I worry that all of that effort earlier in the season, that success, may have worn him down.
Uh-oh.
In the last couple of weeks, haven't been great for their run game. Something to keep an eye on. Even though they're 11-2, they don't have anything to worry about.
I got you.
Something to keep an eye on.
Okay. And you're a lot of people saying, well, it's what happens. You're not going to play well in the cold weather. Keep in mind, though, at 11-2, they're either playing at home or they're playing at home and then playing in New Orleans in the Dome.
You're right.
So it shouldn't impact them. Now, down the road, Jared Goff has yet to prove he's a chilly weather, weather performer. But how about, listen, just a great job. Great job by Chicago. That place was on fire. The Bears are 9-4. They host the Packers. Right now, Chicago, early 5.5-point favorites, week 15. The Rams, they'll host the Eagles Sunday Night Football, and they are laying 9.5. Meanwhile, in Miami, let's get to this. You couldn't even draw this one up on Madden. Are you kidding me?
Barker pitches it. And it's Greg! 30, 20, Gronkowski's got a tackle!
Oh, that one!
Unbelievable! Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable!
I don't believe what I just saw!
No, I get a little bell. This is a baseball theme here. I don't believe what I just saw! Joe Rose, Jimmy Cephalo, Bob Gracie, Dolphins Radio Network. Absolutely nuts.
Yeah, it was nuts. And what you saw in that last play, we talked about it, we detailed it earlier. A lot of those Patriots defenders were kind of easing around, waiting for the next pitch, whereas Kenyon Drake was eyeing the end zone and going full speed. Go rewatch that play. You'll see some of those Patriots defenders not putting in enough effort to save the game. Forget save the yardage, save the game.
I feel like if we always look for the symbolism in sport and, where's the moment where somebody either arrives or when a dynasty kind of... I almost feel like there's great symbolism in that final play there because you've never seen a Belichick coach team, so many guys so woefully out of position, as you allude to. So that was crazy. Miami 7-6. They're still in it. They're at the Minnesota Vikes coming up week 15. Vikings 8-point favorites. The Pats 9-4 at Heinz Field to take on the Steelers. And that is 425 coming up on CBS. Speaking of the Steelers, we go to the Coliseum. What is up with Pittsburgh?
First and 10 at the 22. And the Steelers, with only 5 seconds left, are going to try a field goal of 40 yards to tie this amazing game up.
What a call by Randy Feedner.
The kick by Boswell. He slipped and fell, and the ball is loose. Oh, my goodness gracious. And the Raiders celebrate a real big upset.
That's how it sounded. Bill Hillgrove, Steelers Radio Network. Wow. Final score, 24-21. New Raiders, they take it. Pick up win number 3. Pittsburgh, 7-5-1. Post-game, Tomlin saying, hey, we messed up.
We're going to continue to work. We're going to absorb the negativity that comes with our current position. We understand that. We created it. It's our job to fix it.
Coach Tomlin, blunt as always. And that's one thing about, you know, he doesn't flinch, nope. Doesn't get nervous.
Never making
steady
an excuse.
Message.
Never making an excuse. The problem, BT,
yeah.
They have the Pats,
mm-hmm.
The Saints,
mm-mm.
And the Bengals. The Bengals,
Bengals terrible.
But the Pats and the Saints next. I mean, if they fall below 500, they could be on the outside looking into the playoffs, even after all these weeks of us saying, it's a foregone conclusion. They're making it because the division stinks. Not so much anymore.
Not inconceivable. Pittsburgh is 7-5-1, as Tiki alludes to. They'll host the Pats. It's 4:25. We said that. And, of course, now the Raiders, 3-10, trying to finish up with some pride. They will take on the aforementioned Bengals, who will face the Steelers in Week 17. All right, we go to Kansas City. MVP, ship it to Arrowhead. It's his.
1:39 to go. 4th and 22. Chiefs with pressure on Robert Griffin III. He throws it up for grabs. It's incomplete. Knocked away. Incomplete. The Ravens want a penalty. They will not get it. And the Chiefs have won in overtime.
All right. Mitch Holtis, Chiefs Radio Network. Pretty good throw there by RG3 with, under duress and being pretty rusty.
Dude, it was on the money.
Was that a penalty? What do you think? It was close.
You don't call it in that situation.
I agree. Think.
The ref can't determine the outcome of that game. But, BT, the play of the game was the 4th and 9 with about a minute left for Pat Mahomes, who should have – the Ravens did this to themselves. They should have blitzed him so he couldn't run around and make the play that he made. On that 4th and 9, as he sprints – I mean, he's sprinting – To his right, to the sideline, pivots, turns the ball completely across his body on a dime, 30 yards downfield to Tyreek Hill, which set up the tying touchdown. Ultimately, they win it in overtime, and then they converted again on 4th down. Pat Mahomes is special.
He's special?
Maybe Aaron Rodgers can make that throw. Mm-hmm. There's no other quarterback I've ever seen that can make that throw.
I don't disagree. I mean, there's been some great – Steve McNair, may rest in peace, some of the really athletic quarterbacks.
But, BT, he was sprinting.
But the throw, I know. That's what separates.
He was not jogging or hopping along. Yeah. He was sprinting to the sideline, stopped, pivoted, and threw it across his body. 27 yards on a dime.
I love his maturity, too.
Unbelievable.
He's not overwhelmed. He is great. And I don't throw the word around. You know that if you listen. He's great. Thursday night, they will host the Chargers. That's Kansas City. They move to 11-2. Kansas City, 3.5-point favorites. How good is that start to Week 15?
I'm telling you.
Woof! And the Baltimore Ravens, 7-6. They'll host Tampa. And the Ravens are 8-point favorites. Finally, we go to Dallas. Amari Cooper.
3rd and 7 at the 15. And Prescott in the gun. They look like they're going to blitz. Here comes everybody. Slant in the direction. Cooper caught it on the bounce. Off the defender. Cooper walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Cooper. Cowboys win. How else would you settle this game besides the ball bouncing off a defender into Amari Cooper's hands and him walking in for the winning score?
217 yards, 10 receptions, a small army of touchdowns. What a game. Brad Sham doing his thing.
Yeah.
Cowboys Radio Network, Dallas gets the win.
Yeah, Amari Cooper has turned into the savior for this Dallas offense because it allows them now to be diversified. They don't just have to rely on Zeke Elliott getting it done with his legs and pounding the ball old school style. Obviously, they have a great defense, as we talked about. But Dak Prescott is limited in some of his decision-making and ability to make some of these throws. But with Amari Cooper, you can put the ball over top, and you know he's going to go make a play.
Final score, Teague, 29-23. Dallas 8-5. They'll take on the Colts. That is in Indianapolis in Week 15. Colts early 3-point favorites. A little surprise there.
Yeah,
Colts laying 3. And Philly now 6-7. The champs, obviously, are rocky, bumpy season. They're at the Rams. Rams aren't going to be too happy either. I believe that might be, that's Sunday Night Football. The Rams are 9.5 points. So post game, one thing Amari wanted to say, I'm definitely a number one receiver.
I feel like that's, that's who I am. I feel like I can make those plays and to help my team win. You know, I did it in college a lot in Oakland. I did it sometimes. But my whole goal is just to be more consistent and be able to provide that type of play for my team every week.
Pretty humble guy.
Yeah, he is very humble, but he also is very talented. And if he was on the pace that he's on right now at the Cowboys all season long, he'd have like 1,600 yards receiving and 13 touchdowns. I mean, it's unbelievable what a change of scenery has done for him and what his change of scenery has done for the Cowboys, as we mentioned earlier.
All right, so five-star rewind, week 14 around the NFL. Crazy stuff. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. What an exhausting hour. Like, I feel like I played. I wanted to get it all in, and I don't even know if we got it all in.
No, we didn't get it all in.
We got more to do.
Yeah, we did. We had to start with high school. You're right.
Oh, that's all, yeah.
With AJ's championship. There is still a lot to talk about with the NFL season. And obviously, on the other side of this break, we'll talk about Kyler Murray and the Heisman Trophy. Again, I'm still shocked at how big of a win it was. I knew the second place never gets close, but this one, because of how good Tua was and how great the Alabama Crimson Tide is versus how amazing Kyler Murray had played, I thought it would be really, really tight. It was close, but I was shocked how much of a win Kyler Murray had.
Don't disagree. We'll expound. Big hour coming up. Inbounds, out of bounds. Joel Embiid, frustrated. Couple of games, he's lagging and languishing statistically. Jimmy Butler, that kind of coincides with his arrival, although Butler did his best to snuff it out. But we'll hit the Heisman. We'll start with that. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.